Well, hello, my brothers and sisters. I thank you for joining in with the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and looking forward to studying with you today. I hope that you're blessed and that you're excited in the Lord and trusting in Him. Everything in the world is not always hunky-dory and goody-goody and lovey-dovey and everything else. As a matter of fact, most of the time, it's like the world, like the scriptures describe the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. But I pray that everything is all right, and that you're blessed, that you're here, and you're studying God's word, and the Lord will honor you for that. Thank you. So today we're going to get into a new question. We're still in study number 17, I believe it was, the letter Q. And we was talking last recording about how can I know God's particular will for my life. And we finished that up, and today we're going to go into, ask the question, is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? That's a good question. You ever thought about that? Well, let me ask you something. Are you sinless right now? Are you? Let me ask you this. Do you sin? All right, let me ask you this. How does God see you? Does God see you as sinless, or does He see you as a sinner? Now, I remember, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming that you are born again and that you are a Bible believer and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love the Lord's Word and you are after truth. You're not interested in what everybody thinks about the Bible. You're not interested in as far as opinions about what God's Word says, but you are interested in what does the Bible say. Okay, so what we're going to do is study this today. Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? What does the Bible say? What would be your answer right this very minute? Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? Well, if you said no to that, would you be right? What if you said yes? It is possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection. Well, brothers and sisters, the answer is both are true. Both are true. Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? Absolutely not. It's not. Now, don't get confused on me. Just stay with us. Absolutely not. It's not possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection at all. I don't have the ability. I'm a sinner. If I got what I deserved, the Lord would have put me in hell because I'm a sinner. But Jesus changed all that. And the answer is also absolutely. Absolutely it's possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection. Not because of what I've done, but because of what the Lord has done. So the answer is yes and no. Now let's see what the Bible says and get us an understanding. This recording here is going to be a little shorter than our other ones because it doesn't take that long to go through the scriptures here to understand it. So let's begin like this. We are three parts. Man is a trinity, like the Lord. We are body. Well, according to the Bible, we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. Okay? Now, whenever you ask the Lord to save you, and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were born again. And what happened was God the Holy Ghost went into your body, came into your body, and He separated your soul from your body. And your soul cannot be touched by sin anymore. Your soul used to be attached to your body. That's why in the Old Testament people went to paradise rather than going to straight to heaven. Sin had not been taken away yet because Jesus hadn't died yet. Okay, but you still have that flesh. You're born again. Your soul has been separated. Your spirit has been quickened. And you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. But you are not yet sinless. And the Bible tells us that. Because you're still carrying around that body and that flesh. And listen what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. We'll begin there. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit," now this is capitalized spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost, "the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, the Bible is talking to a Christian, a born-again Bible believer. There, in Brother Paul's writing, in Galatians, and he says that the flesh is constantly fighting against God the Holy Ghost, and God the Holy Ghost fighting against the flesh. Do you recognize that war that's in you? That battle that's in you? You should. When you wake up in the morning, what does your flesh say? Come on, let's go have fellowship with the Lord. Let's pray. Let's have some fellowship with the Lord. Let's read our Bible. No, your flesh don't say nothing of that kind. It says, I want some coffee. And I ain't saying that drinking coffee is sinful. I'm just saying that your flesh is interested in anything and everything that has to do with this world, that has to do with itself, the flesh, and having to do with what the devil wants. That's what your flesh wants. And the spirit wars against the flesh. The spirit is absolutely 100% opposite of what the flesh is. The flesh is condemned. Your flesh is going back to the dirt. God said that. It's condemned, it's cursed, and it's going back to the dirt. Your soul's not going to hell. Your soul has been separated from your flesh because you were born again, and your spirit has been quickened, and the Lord circumcised your soul away from your flesh. Now, it's all still together, and your soul's still inside your body if you're living and breathing, and your spirit also, but it's been separated. It's no longer attached. And when you die, the only thing that dies is your body. It goes back to the dirt. Why? Because it is sinful. Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? Absolutely not. You're carrying around a 100% sinful body that does nothing but lust. And all it wants to do is, it's kind of like your body is kind of like having one of those big, strong, heavy dogs, or big, strong, strong dogs, and you got him on a leash and you're trying to walk him. And he ain't listening to you, and he's pulling this way and pulling that way, and everything he sees, he wants to go look at, and he wants part of. He sees this over here on the left, and he keeps that rope that you got around his neck, that leash you got on him, he just keeps that tight as he can. He's constantly just jerking you, wanting to go this way and wanting to go that way. That's what your flesh is like. It's constantly trying to pull you into lust and into sin and to sinful behavior and trying sinful thinking and sinful words coming out of your mouth. And your flesh does nothing but lust. So as far as it coming to your flesh and far as it being considered with your flesh part of you, absolutely not. It's not possible for you to be sinless. And Paul told us that. He said, for the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. They're nothing in common about God the Holy Ghost and your flesh at all. It says, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the Bible's talking right there in that verse. It's assuming that you are a Christian and that you're reading this verse, and we are. And it says, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. In other words, my will is to do the will of God. My will is not to think any bad thoughts. My will is not to cuss or not to say anything, have any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. That's my will, because I want to be pleasing to the God and do those things, pleasing to the Lord, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. But I can't, because my flesh is constantly tormenting me and fighting against God the Holy Ghost and fighting against my mind. And my fleshly mind is the mind of my flesh is constantly battling against the mind of God the Holy Spirit that's in me, my spiritual mind. Okay, and that's why it's so very important for you to read your Bible and to study like you're doing right now, so that you can know these truths and what God's Word says, and you can have God's Word in you, and you be saturated with God's Word, and then you'll know and be able to identify which part of your mind is speaking. Which we probably don't have too much trouble with that anyway, when it comes to the flesh, right? Is it fleshly or is it spiritual to get mad? What do you say? What's the Bible say? Is it sinful to get mad? Is it sinful to get angry? Do you think that the flesh causes you to get angry? Why, sure it does. Do you think that the Spirit causes you to get angry? Why, sure He does. The Bible says, be, in other words, you have permission, be ye angry and sin not. You see the difference? There it is. So we don't want to be angry with our flesh. In the state of our flesh, but in the state of our God, the Holy Ghost, and listening to Him, be righteously indignant and mad at sin. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You see, so the Bible. The first thing that we want to know is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? Yes, it is, and no, it is not. Depending on where you're coming from with the question, and depending on what part of you you're talking about right now. If you're talking about in the flesh, no, it's not possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection, because my flesh is going to sin all the way until it draws that last breath. It's going to torment me. It's going to try to keep me from doing right, and it's going to fight against me all the way to the grave. Okay? But the Bible says, and there are people out there, there are beliefs out there, and there are religious beliefs out there that say that they can reach a stage of sinless perfection. And they're deceiving themselves. They're lying to themselves, because they might say that in front of everybody and say that while they're gathering together and everything else. But when they go home and want to cuss out their wife or cuss out the dog or get mad at the neighbor or scream at the person that stops in front of you and have some malice against them or somebody tailgating you and all that kind of blah-bitty blah. They don't tell you about all that, see. But everybody does sin. The Scripture tells us. Listen to what it says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So the Bible tells us in John, 1 John, John told us, he said, don't walk around saying that you're sinless when you're not. You still have that flesh, and we know what the flesh is all about. And God knows what the flesh is all about. And we know that the flesh is deceitful and that it's tricky and it's always trying to deceive you into sinning. Jesus is the only one that was in the flesh, as far as being in the body, that did not sin once. He was the only one that was righteous and pure. That's why his body didn't corrupt, because he had no sin. You see? So, is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? We experience, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, each believer experiences an inward battle between the what? Between the flesh and the spirit. Each believer. So don't think, well, maybe it's not going to bother me. No, expect it. If you're going to live for the Lord and you're going to study the Word, I mean, let me give you an example. Just about, we're into this 17 minutes. 17 minutes ago, your flesh was trying to give you every stinking reason in the world not to get into this study. Right? You ought to see what the enemy and my flesh tries to do to me. Well, I need a cup of coffee. Well, I need to go to the bathroom. Well, I need to do this. Well, tries to deter me in every single way possible to keep me from studying and doing this lesson. And it does you too. And it's a constant battle. And if I try to deny that, and I say, well, I don't have any sin. I'm Brother Thurman. I'm a liar and I'm deceiving myself. And any other religious orthodox blobbity blob out there that says that they're not sinners, they're liars. Because we are. If you got a body, you're a sinner. And you are sinful. Now, we're talking about being saved. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, if we say that, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, well, why would he write that? If any man sin, because it is possible for you to sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In other words, our Lord that died for us and bought us and paid for our sin is in glory at the right hand of the Father, and He is advocating for us. He is interceding for us when we sin to the Father. The devil, he's called the accuser. And of course, it says that the scriptures say that he is before the throne accusing the brethren. He has accused you. If you're saved, he's accused you to the, well, look at that. Did you see him tell that stinking lie down there? And your word says, God, that thou shalt not lie. He broke that. You ought to kill him right now. And then Jesus intercedes for you. And he says, Father, I died for that person. That person is born again. He's in our family, and she's in our family, and they have repented, and they've confessed it, and I paid for that sin, Father. He'll say, dismissed. You see how that works? Isn't that wonderful? But as far as your flesh is sinful. And your flesh is going to sin, and it's not going to, your flesh is never going to do anything good. That's scriptural too. The Bible says, for in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And we'll get to that. But the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. The idea is to not sin. Jesus said to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say you wasn't going to have any lust, because that's all the flesh does is lusts. It lusts for sex. It lusts for cigarettes. It lusts for food. It lusts for beer. It lusts for anger. It lusts for malice. It lusts for backbiting. It lusts for adultery. It lusts for nastiness on the movie and nasty jokes. It lusts for. It lusts. It lusts. It lusts. So the Bible says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. The idea is to not sin. But Jesus said, if you walk in the flesh, that you're going to sin. Now what he's talking about is who you're letting control you. That's what you have to be strong about. And that's where you have to, there was an old saying that says, and I, if you know it and I say it wrong, forgive me, because I'm stupid. But anyway, the Bible says, or this thing says that there was an Indian, and a man asked him and said, and the Indian told him, he said, I have a white dog and a black dog within me. And the guy asked him, said, well, which one is the strongest? He said, the one I feed the most. You see that? If you feed the black dog the flesh, and you feed him, and you feed him, and you feed him, he's going to be the strongest one, and he's going to be the one that controls you and the one that you walk in. If you feed the white dog holiness, purity, good things of good report, and think on these things, and what the Lord's Word says, like you're doing right now, and studying to show yourself approved unto God, then the white dog will be in control and will rule you. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And in another place, Paul says, he says, what? Because we have an advocate, and because we have freedom and we are free, do we have liberty? And we have liberty. Should we sin? He said, I think not. You know, the Lord made us free to be able to do right, not free for the ability to us freely do wrong. The Lord made us free so that we can do right. Now we can do right. We have hope. The Lord has saved us. He's washed us. He separated our flesh from our spirit and our soul, and we are free to do right, even though we're still in the body. You see how that is? So anyone who says that they no longer sin has what? They deceive themselves, and the truth is not in them. Because if you tell the truth, you have to say, I'm a sinner. Why would you say that? Because you are. And how do you know you are? Because I sin. And if you can't admit that, or you won't admit that and say that to yourself, then you're lying and you're deceiving yourself. That's what the Bible says. And besides that, you know it in your heart. But there are people, I've had people tell me when we go out soul winning, I'm not going to die. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I refuse to be a sinner. To what? Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? You see how this thing is going? You see, you are a Trinity. And this being born again matter is kind of complicated when it comes to the world thinking about it, because they think about the natural things. They don't think about spiritual things. The way that we have to look at this thing is in the spirit, because that's the only way to understand this matter. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, listen to this. It says, this is Paul talking, and Paul is talking about the battle that he has between his flesh and his spirit. and that he wants to do good, but he's got somebody with him that he's carrying around, that flesh, that won't obey him and constantly bothers him. And he tells this, he writes this to explain it to us about how this thing is, and you can understand it because of the way he says it. Now listen. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 21, listen. For that which I do, I allow not. In other words, I sin, but I don't want it. I don't want it. I allow it not. For that which I do, I sin, I allow not. I don't give it permission. I don't want to sin. So, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, in other words, what I want to happen, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, the thing that I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, the reason that there's a law is because there's sin in me. And the law's good, and the law's right, and the law's telling the truth because I am a sinner. Now then, it is no more I that do it. Now he's talking about he himself as a, between his spirit, his flesh, and his soul. Listen to what he says. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now wait a minute. Does sin dwell in your soul and dwell in your spirit? No. It dwells in your body, in your flesh. He says, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do good, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Did you get that? Man, he explained it well, didn't he? He said, listen. He said, I want to do good. He said, but there's something in me that's fighting against me and constantly trying to bring me down and keep me from doing good. He said, because I sin. And I don't want to sin. He said, but I do. So, one of the most victorious Christians of all time, the Apostle Paul, said that within his old nature, the flesh, dwells what? No good thing. Now, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he was taught... he was taught by some pretty smart fellows, and he was educated and spoke several different languages and a real smart guy and hated Christians. And when the Lord saved him and opened up his spiritual understanding and saved him and started showing him what was the truth and what wasn't the truth, he said he counts everything in his past, all his orthodoxy and all of his study and all the things that he studied about walking upright and doing this, turn left, turn right, my father beat your father at dominoes and blah blah blah, religion, religious, religious. He said he counted all that as dung. But when it come to the flesh and the spirit, he started finding out and understanding the reason that he sins. He said, the reason I sin is because this flesh is still on me, or I'm still in this flesh, in this body, and this body wants to constantly sin. He said, I don't want to, but this flesh does. And then he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? You notice what he said was the death and the sinful part of him. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said he thanked Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus did it for us. He said, so then with my flesh I serve sin. And he said, with my mind I serve God. And we do. That's what you're doing right now. So don't think that you're going to walk around and be sinless while you're still in the body. Because you're not. You say, well, Brother TV, I thought that we was going to have bodies up in heaven and be sinless. You are. But that's not happened yet. There's only one of two ways that you can become sinless. And that is, you die, and your body goes back to the grave, but you won't be completely sin, and then your soul goes to be with the Lord. As far as your soul and your spirit, they are sinless when you go to be with the Lord. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you couldn't be present with the Lord if you had sin in your soul or your spirit. Okay, so your body goes back to the dirt when you die. And then you're not completely 100% complete, we'll say. You are sinless, but you don't have your new body yet. But when the Lord comes back and he gives you that new body, the Bible says we shall be changed. And we'll receive a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And we know Jesus Christ's body is not sinful. And we're going to get a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And we'll have the mind of Christ. We will not only be sinless, but we will not be able to sin. We'll think like the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? What a promise. I can't wait. I'm tired of being a sinner. Aren't you? I'm tired of this battle with this sin. Aren't you? You shouldn't be liking your sin anymore. The more you grow and the more you mature in the Word of God, and the more you find out the truth about who and what you really are and what the Lord has done for you and what he is doing for you, the more you'll be disgusted with your flesh. The Bible says that these bodies are vile. Change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. You see. So is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? Not while you're in the body. But if you die, then you will reach it. Because you'll be changed, and your body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and you will be sinless. Yes. But while you're still in the body, no. You cannot be sinless. Now, we come to the point to where you say, well, how can that be? Well, because as a Christian, you have two different things going on at the same time. Number one, your state, or let's talk about your status first. Your status is already in heaven. You're already there. Now, you're still in the body. But your status is that you've been born again, you're in the family of God, you're adopted, and you are accepted in the beloved. And you're born again, and you are sinless in glory. That's your status. Christians are not sinners. They are saints that sin. Did you get that? There is a difference. Christians are not sinners. They are saints that sin. So your status is saved, sinless, and in heaven already. But now, your state could be completely different. You're in the body, and this body is wicked, and it's condemned, and it's dying, and it's going back to the grave, and back to the dust, like the Lord said, and it's doing everything it can to stay alive and grab hold of anything that it can to stay alive, because it doesn't want to die. It knows it's going to die. It's been cursed, and it's going back to the dirt. And then the Lord's going to raise it up and change it and give you a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Now, the only time that a Christian will be sinless and perfect is when he is delivered from the body or at the rapture of the church. That's when the Lord comes, and He doesn't come down and this is the first part of the second advent. The Lord comes back and takes the church out of here, and then we have the tribulation here on earth, and then the Lord comes back with us, or we come back with Him, that is, and we come back at His second advent to make war. And the Lord comes here and cleans this place up and burns it and cleanses it, and we have the millennium. But the Bible says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? From the body of this death. Well, we know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, the Bible says this. Listen to what the Lord says. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 through 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, that's our promise. The Lord promises us that He's going to come, get us, change us, and we're going to be like Him. So yes, you have God's promise that you're going to be sinless, and also His promise that you are already sinless. But is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection depending on where you're at? Are you in the body? No, you cannot reach a stage of sinless perfection as far as your state or as far as your status either. But when it comes to eternal life and what the Lord's already done for you, yes, you are sinless. You say, Brother TV, this don't make no sense. Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. If you're born again, your soul has been separated from your body, and you are a saint walking around with a dead body hanging on you. That's dying, and it's wicked, and it does not want to do any have anything to do with God or with righteousness or with goodness or with purity or with holiness, and you and your spirit are minded to want to mind the Holy Ghost and to do and His will. But there's a war, and that flesh is constantly trying to drag you. Remember the old cartoons where the guy would be there and a decision would come up and he'd be sitting there thinking about it, and all of a sudden a devil would pop up on his shoulder and he'd be sitting there and whispering in his ear saying, psh, 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 and he'd just give a real evil grin, you know, and then all of a sudden an angel would pop up on the other side, a white angel would pop up on the other side, and he would be advising him the opposite. That's kind of like it is. Your flesh and your spirit are contrary one to another, and they're constantly warring. And God the Holy Ghost is there to help us. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He does. He does every bit of that. He's faithful. He is God. Now, the Bible says this. So the only time that a Christian will be sinless and perfect is when delivered from the body or at the rapture. Now, does that make sense to you? Sure it does. It's simple. It's simple. You say, so is it possible? So when I sin, what does... I'm not supposed to sin. That's right. You're not supposed to, because the Bible says walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Lord said you won't fulfill them. It said you won't. It didn't say that you wouldn't have the lusts. It said that you won't fulfill them if you walk in the Spirit. But if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to yield to that flesh every time. So the only time that you're going to be sinless is one of those two times. Either you die and your body goes, you go to be with the Lord and your body goes to the dirt, or at the rapture. Okay? But either way, you're going to be sinless. Yes. Now, as far as your status is, you're sinless already. Jesus has paid the debt for you. You have no debt. Jesus took on your debt. He paid your debt. He gave you His righteousness and took on your sin and nailed it to the cross. And His blood paid for it. Now, the Bible says this in Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Teaching us, now this is our responsibility while we're in the flesh, while we're in this body, what the Lord's will for us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You say, well, that's confusing, Brother Thurman, because how can I live that way if I'm a sinner and I sin and this flesh don't want to do good? You walk in the Spirit and you fight the fight. That is the Christian battle. See, everybody out there that says, he thinks he's holier than holy, holier than thou, and all that kind of stupid, idiotic stuff that goes on, has absolutely no idea what a Christian fights and what a sincere Christian fights. I challenge anybody to get saved and walk in the Spirit. It's a battle, brother. It's just like some of them preachers said, this ain't no playground, it's a battlefield. And any of you, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're studying, you're battling, right? Yes. But the Bible tells us, while we're in the body, that the Bible teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, if the Lord didn't want us to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, and it wasn't possible, then He wouldn't have said it. Or either He's trying to trick us and deceive us, and God's not like that. He doesn't do that to us. It's possible for us to not to, while we're in the body, it's not possible for us to be sinless. But it is possible for us to walk godly and to walk righteously in this present world and to live soberly and to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And then the Bible says, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And what does he say we're supposed to do when we sin? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, Brother TV, I thought all my sins were forgiven. Well, they are. But if you commit a sin, it no longer has anything to do with the penalty of hell. It has to do with your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. It takes you out of fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And then it's needful for you to confess it and tell the truth to him. You don't think he already knows? Of course he does. But he wants you to confess it and tell the truth. And once you do and you tell the truth, the Lord will cleanse you of that and take away the guilt, and you can continue on. Isn't he a wonderful God to have provided all these things for us? It's simple. Nevertheless, according to Titus 2:12, just like the Bible said, what kind of life should a Christian strive to lead by God's grace? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're not under the law anymore. But that gives us the liberty to do right, not to do wrong. Christians can do anything that an unsaved person can do, and they can be just as wicked, if not more wicked, than an unsaved person can be if they're walking in that flesh. That flesh can make you do anything if you walk in it and you have them and you walk in a fleshly mind. It'll steal your love for God. It'll steal your fellowship with God. It'll steal your rewards in heaven. It'll steal everything. And it's just a matter, when it comes to a Christian's life and your walk with the Lord, of how long it's going to take you to realize and how many lessons it's going to take you and how many trips out behind the barn with the Lord it's going to take for you to understand that you're God's youngin' now. And you're not allowed to do that because God is a loving father and he takes his fatherhood very seriously. And he don't want his youngins running around with a bad reputation and dirtying up his name in front of all the sinners and the God haters to give them a chance to blaspheme him and his name. We're supposed to be glorifying our Lord and our Heavenly Father. And we're supposed to be carrying the Lord Jesus Christ, who is yoking up with him, not the yoke of the world. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, final verse. Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? If you're born again, you already have. But as far as being completely sinless, not until the rapture or either your body, you leave your body and go back, your body goes back to the dirt. As far as completely sinless. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. But the thing that we're supposed to be doing right now in the body, in this wicked old body, this body of death that Paul called it. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So there it is. Is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? We're talking to Christians. Yes, it is. And no, it isn't. And only the Scriptures can describe that. You're not confused at all, are you? The Scriptures make things simple. What other book do you know that can answer that question with a yes and a no? Because you are spiritual, both spiritual and fleshly, right now. It'd be good. We have hope, and we have everything to look forward to. So let me give you these Scriptures for today's study. And this question, is it possible for me to reach a stage of sinless perfection? The first one was Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. And then we had 1 John 1, 8. And then we have 1 John 2, 1. And then Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 21. And then Romans chapter 7, verse 24. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 58. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 12. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. All right. Well, thank you so much for studying the questions often asked in the ABCs of Christian growth. And this is good stuff, isn't it? I love studying God's Word and finding out truth. So now you know. Now you know what God's Word says and what the Lord stands behind with His authority concerning being sinless or not sinless. And you can explain that to people now. As far as the unsaved, if they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have absolutely no possibility of being sinless at all. You see? So I want to remind you that if you want these studies so that you can just go down through them as we're having these audio studies, that you can follow it word for word. Well, not quite word for word, because my memory don't work like that. But they are lined up in parallel with this audio study, and you can just literally hold it right there in your lap as we're having this study, and you'll see as it goes right down through. And if you want them, you can have them. I'll send them to you. Email me at Barnhouse Ministries. That's all lowercase letters, and barnhouseministries@gmail.com. And I'll just send them to you, and you can print them, and you'll have them. And then you can teach them to your children or use them for your devotions or your Bible studies or even teach something at your church, whatever you want to do. But it's good stuff. It's God's Word, and we're thankful for that. The next question that we're going to talk about is, what should I do about my worries? You going to join in? I hope so. That'll be on our next recording. It's Brother Thurman, and I thank you so much for honoring our Lord and studying His Word. He'll honor you back, and you know that. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you. Bye-bye.